one time Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik came, and he also came with a cane, came to yeshiva. So I don't remember who said to who, but one said to the other, you know, you're jealous of me, so you're imitating me. I don't remember who said to one. If I have a cane, so you have to have a cane also. So, Hamevin Yavin. Okay. All right. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about this, about Rav Chaim Kanevsky, the Tzira. I don't know if the people went to this Asifa and the Share didn't go. Some people went, some people didn't go. I know Rabbi Naiman spoke in yeshiva. I wasn't here. I was preparing. And I know there's a thing, I got an email, there's a thing in Queens, which we may or may not join. I suspect we will join, because it's on they're sending out a notice that everyone should listen. It's on Thursday afternoon. So, but I want to put in my two cents anyway. So, the question that I want to get to the practical application. So first of all, before you start, Rav Chaim Kanevsky was obviously, someone told me that they thought that I didn't praise him enough. So when I spoke to Shai, so he obviously was way up there, right? You know, they tell all these wild, wild Muslim stories about him. And many, many people tell the stories. And, you know, I had a ma'aseh with the Stiper, some little bit of a ma'aseh story. And I had a ma'aseh with Rav Chaim Kanevsky also, something with someone who was sick, went to him for a bracha. And, you know, Be'er Hashem, the bracha is still working. So it's, you know, there are wild ma'aseh, and they're said by so many people, and reliable people, that I think I believe them. You know, I believe them 100%. And, you know, and that shows, you know, you don't, that I, besides everything else, shows amazing godness. That being said, I was not happy with the big emphasis, especially on this Meisim. Why? Because the Meisim, there were other gedolim that you don't hear about anything about Meisim. Rosh Yeshiva, that's how. I never heard a single Meisim story about the Rosh Yeshiva. You like that? I will be Meisim MS. I don't know a single Meisim about the Rosh Yeshiva. You like that? Well, what a chassid I am. What?
Can I tell everyone?
Okay, tell me later. I don't know of any. But it's not just Rosh Yeshiva. I don't know of kamat any Meisim about Rav Moshe Feinstein. I once heard one Meisim from Rav Moshe. I don't know any Meisim about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I don't know any Meisim about Rav Shach. I don't know any Meisim about a lot of people. Rav Gifter, Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. So, you know, if we speak about Rav Chaim with such a gadol, because, wow, he did so many Meisim, so then you're sort of implying, so everyone else who didn't do a Meisim, oh, so they don't count. So I don't like that connotation. Oh, now, the Shaila is, so how do you explain that Rav Chaim did Meisim, the Stiper did Meisim, Chazon Ish did Meisim, and all these other people didn't do Meisim? Must be that they were greater. So, there's two answers. I would say, with the answer I would give, and I actually once asked this question to Simcha Wasserman about 50 years ago. He said a little different answer. So, I don't know. I think they're both probably good. The answer that I would have said is that in Eretz Yisrael, Be'ez Hashem, right, we're not saying anything, don't go, but Be'ez Hashem will go. So, the when people go to Eretz Yisrael, one of the things they do is they go to a lot of kfarim. A lot of kvarim, actually, a lot of choshri kvarim. Now, why do you have to go to so many kvarim? Just go to one. Right? Kevin Rachel. What can be Ben Rachel? She's a pretty good tzedekes. No, you have to go to Kever Rachel and Kever Shmuel Navi. You have to go to Amuka to Kever Yonas Ben Uziel and to Meron to Hashem Bar Yochai and to Sfas to the Beis Yosef and the Arizal. And it's about another 50 million karmas. And the David HaMelech and Har Tzion. And I don't like, you know, why? And if people are willing to kfarim, there's a lot of kfarim in Israel. Like, and then you get to modern day people. You got Rav Aaron Cutler and Har Menuchas, and Rav Aaron Avin and Har, right in the middle of time, Bar Ilan. And Rav Aji Yosef, if you're as Friday, that, you know, it's Yard Sites during the summer, that said they have a mamish, maybe major thing. You know, why can't you, what do you need so many kfarim for? So there's a Ran, I believe it's a Drasha's Ran, that says that every tzaddik reached his shlemis a different way. There's no two people look the same, no two people have the same fingerprints. There's no two people in the world ever who had the same sitkas. Yosef reaches sitkas because he was with Eishes Potiphar. Right? This person reaches, Rebbe Kiva reaches sitkas because he became the Talmud Chacham. This person reaches sitkas, Mordechai Vester, or sitkas, whatever, you know. Different people did different things to reach their sitkas. And in Meida, they don't have the same kedusha. They have different kedushas. So the Ran says, I'm pretty sure it's what the Ran said, that every kever gets the kedusha of the person who's buried there. But since different tzaddikim have different sitkas, they have different kedusha. So their kever is mesugel for different things. So everyone knows, if you want a shidduch, where's the best place to daven?
Amuka.
Shem by Rav Yosef Ben Uziel. Does that mean Rav Yosef Ben Uziel was a bigger tzaddik than anybody else? No, it means that for some reason, the kedusha of Rav Yosef Ben Uziel helps for shidduchim. Now, I don't need shidduchim. I don't need a shidduch. I need help me beating my Yetzara for Arayas. So maybe I should go to Kever Yosef HaTzadik. I need Hasmada. Maybe I should go to Kever Rabbi Akiva. He started learning when he's 40. I need, you know, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know which Kever is which. But what we believe is every Kever has a different Kedusha, because every Tzadik has a different Kedusha. So I would think it's the same answer. That's what I think the Ran says. So I think it's the same answer with, why does some G'daylim can do Moisim and some can't? Don't. So I would say it's because they have different Kedushas. Obviously, Rav Chaim Kineski had some super, 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 super Kedusha, which came from super goddess that gave him the ability to do Moisim. Maybe other G'daylim, they reach their Sitkas a different way, and they don't have that ability to do Moisim. It doesn't, I would not take it away that they're any less great. I suspect that if you'd have asked Rav Chaim Kineski, what do you think of your father and Rav Yashiv? I think he would have respected him. He said, well, I don't, Rav Yashiv doesn't do as many Moisim as you do. Right? I don't have any Moisim Rav Yashiv either. You know? But I think that, you know, so what? That's not the criteria of a goddess, is not that. That's a simon to goddess, but it's not a simon, if you don't do it, it's not a simon of absence of goddess. Right, that's what I would have said. Rav Simcha Vassman, I asked him this question many years ago, and he said a different answer. He said, he quoted that the son of the Chafetz Chaim, that they said, someone asked the Chafetz Chaim's son this question. How come the Chafetz Chaim didn't do Maivsim? Even though they say the Chafetz Chaim, he said they used to, the Moifes of the Chafetz Chaim, they say it was very common that the Chafetz Chaim would tell people would come to him with a question, the Chafetz Chaim, and very often the Chafetz Chaim would answer the question without the guy asking it to him. The Chafetz Chaim would say his Bar Torah, and the guy would get the answer to his question, he wouldn't have to ask it. So that was like the Moifes, it was very common, the Chafetz Chaim. But the Chafetz Chaim, besides that, was not known to him doing Moifes. So they asked the Chafetz Chaim's son, how come the Chafetz Chaim doesn't do Maisim? Right? Chafetz Chaim should be able to do Maisim. So he said, the Chafetz Chaim said, son, what's trying to my face? It's based on a pasuk, Tzadik Geyser, Fakash Baruch Hu Mikayim. That Tzadik's Geyser, and Hashem listens to a Tzadik. He says, my father does a bigger my face. Hakash Baruch Hu Geyser, the Tzadik Mikayim. which means he wasn't interested in doing him by face. You know, because he didn't want to, because I'm not going against Hashem. Hashem can handle the world himself. So it was a hashkafa that I don't do ma'isim. You know, not that I can't, but I don't do it. So I don't know. Right? That's it. Because he said the Chofetz Chaim wanted to do Hashem goes there v'tzadik mekayim. I don't tell Hashem what to do. And I let Hashem decide what he wants to do. I have to, Hashem give this person refuah shleima. Ain't okay now. If I boss Hashem around, he would listen. But I don't want to boss Hashem around. Right? I don't know. And there were different shittas. There were other people that did do ma'isim. So I don't know which is the right answer. I got two answers. Either that different gedolim have different kaychas, which I think is partially true, because this person was a gadol in Ian, and this is a gadol in Bekiyas, and this is a gadol in Tfila, and this was a gadol in Chesed. You know, there's millions of different areas of gadas. Or the answer is that some decided that they wanted to do ma'isim to help Klai Yisrael, and some decided they don't want to do ma'isim. Okay, I don't know.
Why wouldn't they want to do ma'isim?
Because Hashem goes there with Tzadik Mekayim. Right, that's what they said from the Chofetz Chaim. Son, it wasn't from the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim's son said that his father did not want to tell Hashem what to do. He'll do whatever Hashem tells him what to do. And he said that that's a bigger my face. Because it's easier to tell Hashem what to do than to listen to Hashem and say, I'm about to die. Whatever Hashem wants. If you want to kill this guy, kill him. I'm not stopping you. Even though I have the ability to stop you, I'm not going to stop you. Okay, anyway, the Maisa, whatever the answer is, what I felt is that there's a danger that when you hear all these Maisin about Rav Chaim, you lose your appreciation for other Gedolim who did not don't do Maisin. So that's what I have to make that machah, so to speak. That yes, Rav Chaim did Maisin. And we don't believe that these are just not true. We believe that they're true, even though it's hard to believe some of these ma'isim, but so many people say them, and so many reliable people and chashra people, that we have to believe that they're true. But that doesn't mean that if a person doesn't do ma'isim, he doesn't do ma'isim. He's not. Right? If there was a machlokes between Rabbi Yashav and Rav Chaim, I assume we pass in like Rabbi Yashav. Even though I think Rav Chaim did much more ma'isim than Rav Chaim. Right? That's what I assume so. There were machlokes, and they did argue halacha, because they were both poskim a little bit. And they had their cases where they disagreed in halacha. I assume that halacha we found Rav Yashav. I assume. But he did ma'isim, he didn't. Okay? He did ma'isim. So what? That doesn't define his godless. And as a brainwashed Chofetz Chaim guy, who I admit I am, if there be a machlokes between Rav Chaim and the Rosh Yeshiva, I would still go with the Rosh Yeshiva, even though Rav Yeshiva did not do any ma'isim, right? But first of all, he's my rabbi, and there's such a thing, you follow your rabbi, so even without, I don't have to say who's greater, it's my rabbi. He also was older. He was older. I think he said was older. Maybe not. But he's older. So, okay. He's a little bit older. So, Maisa, there's such a thing. So, I just want to make that, I think that was important, that the fact that you don't have Maisim, we don't judge a Gadol because of his Maisim. That's not what makes a person a Gadol a Gadol. The little people who we don't know anything better, so we judge that they get him, wow, he did a my face. But that's not what makes a gadol the gadol. It's not his ma'isim. It's the godless of himself. Okay. Now, someone else asked me a question. I want to get reply to.
Is the famous grasshopper story, would
that
be is that a
Mofi story? That's a Mofi Shankamayu. I think about the amazing Mofi. I never had a grasshopper come when I'm exactly in the middle of the sugya. Yes, that's a pretty amazing Mofi.
They quoted Rebel Yashiv, who said that that's something that only happens to
Rishonim. Yes, yes. So that happens to Rishonim. That's pretty amazing. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe Rabbi Yashiv, according to the way I say it, not according to Simcha, maybe, I don't know which is right, but I would understand it is, Rabbi Yashiv maybe couldn't do that. But that doesn't mean he's greater. That means that he's different. He's different. But doesn't mean But greatness, greatness is multifaceted. There's millions of areas of greatness. You know, we go to Kafir Racha, and we go to the Kotel, and we go here. Which is greater? Why should I go? Well, why don't I have to go to Marat Machpeda? Why do I go to Kafir Racha? Just stick to the Kotel. Just stick here, you know. There's different. There's different Kedusha. There's different Midas. Okay. Anyway, let me go. Okay. The question was asked, for Mikana Haba, that when I said this at the when I was learning with the guys, that the dividing line between what I think between the Torah world and modern Orthodox world is whether we listen to our Gedolim. So the question is, why should you listen to a Gadol? So I told the guys a story, and it's a very cute story. And maybe it's not, is that there was a certain Adam Khoshev, who was affiliated with a little bit more the more modern Orthodox camp. He was a big Talmud Chacham. And he spoke in the neighborhood of Queens. And one of the Rashivas, Taina, is against with the more modern, that they don't listen enough to Gedolim. And he spoke about, I have to listen to Gedolim. So one of the Rebbeim went and heard him speak. And he told Rashiv, you wouldn't believe it. He spoke about the, I have to listen to Gedolim. And she said, can't be. No, yeah, he did. He gave a whole speech. He said, what'd he say? She said, you have to listen to Gedolim. He says, why? Well, first of all, the Gedolim are brilliant. So they're more likely right. You know, you're stupid, you're foolish. See, the guy, he's 100 times smarter than you, so why shouldn't you listen to him? Second of all, he gets Siyata Deshmaya. So, you know, he's a bigger tzaddik, so Hashem's going to give him Siyata Deshmaya. So you have to be silly not to listen to him. So the Shiva said, I told you he doesn't know what he's talking. Right. In other words, Shiva felt he had all the wrong reasons. And there's a very, not that the reasons are wrong, but they're not the real reason. And there's a nafkamina la halacha. So I want to go there, want to discuss it. The Shiva held the main reason why you're supposed to listen to Gedolim is because, as I was saying, Hanan in the car, is because Torah is not limited just to 613 mitzvahs. We say the Gra that I quoted, when I grew up here, the Gra says every second of your life you can do a mitzvah. The Torah has an opinion about everything. There's a hashkafas haTorah and everything. If there's a hashkafas haTorah on trivial things like which shoelace you should tie first, and which how you should go to the bathroom, and all these almost like mundane things, so there's surely a hashkafas haTorah on big things in life, like who should you marry? I say, do we support Ukraine or the Russians? Right? It should be, the Torah has no opinion on that. The Torah only talks about shoelaces. So the Torah has an opinion on everything, except that you got to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham to find it, because not every halacha was codified in the Shulchan Aruch. The biggest rise, Hilchos Lashon Hara. Till the Chavetz Chaim came and wrote Hilchos Lashon Hara, people didn't know what the halachos of Lashon Hara was. It wasn't that it wasn't there. There was no Shulchan Aruch. The Chavetz Chaim in his Gainus collected the Gemaras from over Shas that discussed Lashon Hara, and he organized it to show that there's clear-cut halachos. So the Shiva Taina is there clear-cut halachos in Hilchos marriage. Someone could write a Shulchan Aruch. When you're going out, this is what you should be looking for, clear-cut. In Hilchos war, when there's a war between Ukraine and Russia, or between two people, which country should you support? There's Gemara. Except you have to find the Mekairis, you have to find the Midrashim, you have to go through Tanakh, you have to be Midama Milsa to Milsa, you have to find, because especially history always repeats itself, so if you think this is the first time there was a war between Russia and Ukraine, 500 years ago there was a war between Russia and Ukraine. Just instead of being called Russia and Ukraine, it was called Poland and something else, or you know. But the same thing happened, and the Poskim discussed it, and the Svarim discussed it, and the Medrash discusses it. Except they don't use the word Russia and Ukraine. But if you use your Seichel, you'll understand that it's the same underpinnings. So the Hashkava, what Rashi insisted, is that every, for sure, major Shaida Now, I'm not sure whether you, when you go to the candy machine, you have to decide, should I take a chocolate bar or a...
Chocolate bar.
Or a Milky Way, I don't know. I'm not sure if that you find in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know. Maybe even that you will. But any major issue of relevance, should I stay here or should I go to a different branch, right? Any major issue, life and death,
CCG.
Right? You'll find it in the Rashida insists that if you really knew Torah well, you'll find the Mekar, because everything has an underpinnings. And the underpinnings, the Shaitas are the same Shaitas. Life doesn't change. It's all always the same Shaitas. It's the same debates. It's just different. It's like, I keep saying, TV shows and books. It's the same story. It's just they change the costumes. They change, but it's always the same plot. And nothing really changed. Once you read and once you watch enough TV shows, you don't have to watch them anymore. You know them already. They're all the same. If you read books, they're all the same. You know, things, so it's the same with Shaitas. You think you're the first person with this Shaita? This Shaita, 50, you know, this came up so many times in the history of the world. Oh, Seth, how do you, in order to pass in the Shaita, you have to have tremendous bekiyas. You have to know all Medrash, you have to know all Shas, you have to know all Tanakh. You also have to be a tremendous Amkin. Because you have to understand what the underpinnings of the Shaita is, and then find the similar case, and be medama milsa na milsa. It'd be a big time of chacham to do that. But assuming you're a big time of chacham, so what Rashiva is saying, that das Torah means, doesn't mean das Torah of the Gadol. Torah in the Rashiva means das Torah of the Torah. When you're asking das Torah, he means das Torah. I want to know, what does the Torah say about this? And you ask the God, and they say, oh, it's a Beferish of Gemara. Right? I know I had this experience where we went to Rabbi Grumblatt. It was the most amazing thing in the world. We went to Rabbi Meir Chodesh. We had a vad with him. And when it was in 77, whatever, 78, I don't remember the year exactly. And we were already chush of the guys in yeshiva, and we thought we knew something about Musar. So there were certain questions, some of the questions we asked. The one question, I remember, the Shiva said he wasn't so clear on, said other questions. So we asked him what we thought were like the hardest questions in Musar that we could think of. And every time we asked him a question, and it was always the same. He was a very deep thinker. He would stop, he would think, and for a minute or two, wouldn't say anything. And then he would quote, usually a Medrash Baal Peh, not looking up any Gemara, some Medrash, some random Medrash somewhere, and he would ask the Kasha on the Medrash, and he would prove from that Medrash the answer to our question. It was like, it's not like, you know, when a guy asks me Hashkafa Shaiz, I say, you know, whoa, okay, I don't bring any source to it. He would go ahead, and it was no preparation, because we asked the question. We asked him a question, oh, there's a Medrash in Eicha, and he quote the Medrash, and you know, with the Ian, you know, so you see this, you cite, and then that answers your question, okay? Mukhla from the Medrash, answer your question, right? I was like, we were like in shock because he did it every time. So we did have around 10, 15 sessions with him. I don't remember how many. We started in the middle of the year, but the so that's the real. That's what she holds as Das Torah now. What's the difference between the Rashiva Pshat and Das Torah and this other person, this Chosher Rav person, Pshat and Das Torah? Right? The other person says Das Torah is because the Gadol is very smart, and the Gadol gets the Siyata Deshmaya, and he's probably right, and you'd be an idiot not to listen to him. The Rashiva is saying is because the Gadol is telling you what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, because it's not codified, but he knows the Shulchan Aruch. What's a Nafka Mina?
You know the halachas.
What? Well, anyway, yeah, but it's in the Gemara. He says it's the Gadol figures out that it's in the Shulchan Aruch, just it wasn't written. It's in the, you know, like I was saying, like before the. So what's a nafka mina? Nafka mina is if you want to be an idiot, right? If you're going with this other person's opinion, says so you tell you got to be an idiot to disagree with the Gadol. The Gadol is probably smarter than you. He gets the other smart. Okay, but I want to be an idiot. I'm convinced that I'm right. I'm 100% convinced I'm right. See, but yeah, but you listen, the gadlus are on me, but I know I'm right. Yeah, well, he's going to get siyata dishmaya, but I know I'm right. Right. So if you go with the that approach, listen, I got you. Okay, listen, you want to tell Ed and take you know, no one's telling you that. You want to be convinced that you're right, then go ahead. You're allowed. No one, nothing wrong. You might be a fool. You might be a fool because you want to take the chance, and many people will take the chance because they're so convinced that they're right. Right? There's like a million shmuzim, right? That, you know, Yosef moved Yaakov's hands because he was convinced he's right. Right? Many people are convinced that they're right, and therefore they will, you know, they said, I'm 100% sure I'm right. So you tell me the God is very smart, but obviously he's wrong, because obviously he's not as smart as everyone thinks he is, because I'm, you know, I went to your college and I spent 20 years working in political science, and I know this, I know that, and I know what's the right thing to do in this situation. And he's saying you should vote for so-and-so, and I know you should vote for the other guy, right? But if you learn it's a halacha, so I don't care that you're smart, and I don't care that you're smarter, and maybe you're even smarter than the gadol, and maybe you know political science better than him. Okay, but he's pasking the shayla. If you have the shayla and you're a daya, and the gadol pasks, say, well, I don't know you're a daya, but I think it's kosher. You can't do that. And if you do that, you know what happens? There's a pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk says, I made wrong pasuk because I know so little. Rashi says, even if they tell you that your right hand is your left hand, it means if it's a halachic shayla, even if you think they're wrong, you have to listen. It's a farish pasuk. Right, if I go ahead and I shine in Hilchus Kashrus, and I learned your idea, right? I learned your idea. I got smicha, so I learned to shine, and I'm positive that the food is kosher. Then somebody goes ahead and calls up Rabbi Yashiv and says, "I don't know why you're calling up Rabbi Yashiv. I can paskin myself." Why these people, they always paskin. They can't have any guts. And sure enough, Rabbi Yashiv said it's not kosher. But I know it's kosher, right? So that would be an issur d'oraisa to eat it. Even if I'm 100% sure I'm right, because it's a halachic shayla. The pasuk says that there's a halachic shayla, even if you're al yamin usmo, even if you're convinced that he's wrong, when it comes to halachic shaylas, you're mechuyev to listen. Okay? It's a pasuk, no? So according to the Rosh Hashiva, when this gadol paskins, who you should vote for the president, assuming he passes. Sometimes they don't paskin. But if he would really paskin that, you know, or the shayla, should we give back Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs to make a peace treaty? Right? And if, let's say, Rav Shach paskin one way, so if that was a psak, then if you go against it, you're over the saucer, because that's a halachic shayla. It's a halachic shayla you're supposed to give back Eretz Yisrael. Right, it's a halachic shayla, where you have to weigh. So if Rav Shach paskin that shayla, which he did, you know, well then no one listened to him, because the government wasn't really interested in what Rav Shach had to say. What did he say? What's the difference?
He said he should.
He said that. Yeah, I think he said they should give back. But no one was really interested in Rav Shach, because, you know, the government did not really care. But you know, once he paskin, so that's the halacha. So even though there were many people that thought they were smarter than him in understanding politics.
Should they give it back now?
What?
Should they give it back now?
I don't know. That just because he passed him 30 years ago. Obviously, situations change. Can't say you still want to make, you have to ask him again. So it's difficult to ask him again. But anyway, but the Maisa, the point is, it's a very important point, that according to Shiva's definition of Das Haira, so it's a halachic thing. So it's a halachic thing. So it's almost like you're mechuyev to listen. It's not just that you're it's a good idea, it's eitz taiva, you're being a foolish if you don't listen. It's true. You're also being foolish if you don't listen, because he's probably right and you're probably wrong. But it's also halachically you have to listen. A very, very big difference. Major difference. Anyway, and the point is, especially what we're saying, I'm saying with my introduction, is that doesn't just apply to a gadol who can do meifsin, right? So, the beauty is like this. I'll give you a beautiful example. I was living in Eretz Yisrael, right? Everybody knows the story. Came along, I had this wonderful opportunity to come to Miami, which I paskin is the most ridiculous thing in the world, right? I paskin is ridiculous. Why anyone would go to Miami? I asked Rashiva, because of whatever reason I asked him, and he paskin, then I should come to Miami. Now, let us assume, for argument's sake, that I go up to Shemayim, and they say, oh, the Rashiva got it all wrong, because there's a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, and don't you know the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is doicha, the Harbatzah's Torah in Miami, you could have done Harbatzah's Torah in Yerushalayim, you could have got them both, so why should you give up living in Eretz Yisrael? So she said, you can do a little more Harbatzah's Torah, so who says for a little bit more Harbatzah's Torah, you're doicha living in Eretz Yisrael, and, right? So let's say I come up to Shemayim, and they tell me, you know, the Rashiva got it wrong. So what do I say back?
It was too bad.
Too bad. It's a halachic shayla. And what do we say about halachic shaylas?
Lo
b'shamayim. So in fact, if I wouldn't have listened to Rashiva, and I come up to Rashamayim, and they say Rashiva got it wrong, and you got it right. Yeah. You were right. Shiva paskin wrong, and you paskin right. But still, you, the Gehenim. Right? I don't want to say the Gehenim, because I don't think I've been such a terrible Aveira. But the Maisa, right, it doesn't make a difference if you got it right. Once the Gadol paskins, if it's halachic shayla, then that's a halacha. So the Das Torah, is according to Rashi, is in a certain sense, it's not just a obligation, but it's a tremendously relaxing thing. Because you don't have to worry. I don't have to sit there and clearing, going crazy. Am I making the right decision or am I making the wrong decision? Maybe I'm making the wrong decision. Maybe I'm doing the worst aver in the world. I'm going, you know, I'm going, it says there's so many chazals, how terrible it is to leave Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to machlan and kill them because they left Eretz Yisrael. And you know, who knows, I'm maybe doing with this aver is, and I don't have to worry. You got to ask the shayla. And I got up, socked in, and that's it. No b'shamayim. Right? It's a gewaldig thing. It's one of the. It makes life much, much easier to live. You don't have to worry. You don't have to second that. Now, if you're the God, though, it doesn't make it much easier. Because if the God, though, paskin's wrong, I don't think he can say no b'shamayim. Because he should have been more careful to paskin correctly. So, you know, that's already, you know. But for the Hamon Am,
doesn't it change what the Metzius is in Shemayim when the Gadol
I don't know,
paskins?
But the Gadol, maybe if the Gadol paskined incorrectly, and Stamina is a tine on him for paskining incorrectly. But for you, it doesn't make a difference.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference. In other words, the example that Shiva used to give is that there were a guy's a doctor, and he wants to know whether he should operate or not. And whether you should operate very often is a halachic shayla. Doesn't mean that the gadol knows the mitzvahs. Of course, the doctor knows the mitzvahs better than the gadol. Of course, no one would say that. I mean, a normal gadol. Maybe Rav Chaim Kineski is different because he's mystic, spooky. But a normal gadol does not know the mitzvahs as well as a doctor. Of course not. But nonetheless, we would say you should ask the gadol. Being shayla, if you first ask the doctor, the doctor should tell you what are the percentages. He says, if you do the operation, the odds of survival are such a percent. If you don't do the operation, the odds of survival are this percent. Now, what should you do? Now, that the facts, yes, you get all the facts in the doctor. Don't have to go to the Godot for the facts. You ask the facts to the doctor. Then you're supposed to take the facts and present them to the Godot. There's a 25% that like the person could die on the operating table. On the other hand, it would greatly improve his quality of life. Should he or shouldn't he take the operation? Okay, that's a halakhah. That's not for the doctor to decide that. Well, the doctor says, what's the point of living if, you know, that's a halakhah shayla. You know, so you present the facts to the gadol paskins. What now? The gadol paskins. The doctor paskins. He should have the operation. The doctor does the operation, and the patient dies on the operating table. So the yeshiva said the doctor should feel, I don't feel bad. You're just depressed. I killed him. You didn't kill him. That was a halacha. You were mechuyev to operate. The thing, it makes life so much relaxing that you got up socked in. You were supposed to operate. I died. That's nothing to do with you. You did what you were supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do. Someone dies. What are you supposed to feel guilty? What do you feel guilty for? I saw in a sefer, I thought that there is a sefer about Rav Zuckerman. Rav Zuckerman was a big gadol in Eretz Yisrael. So he brings that when World War II came, he was very close to the Mashkiach of Sabaka, the Tzaras Avram. So when World War II came, the Germans occupied the city. People knew the Germans were very anti-Semitic. So the shot is what the yeshiva guy should do. So he paskened that based on World War I, World War II was a little bit of a repeat of World War I, the Germans occupied in World War I. In World War I, the Germans only cared about the big cities because those were the strategic. They didn't care about the little cities because who cares about a little village in the middle of the woods? So he told all the Bachrim to go to the little teeny villages.
Who told them?
No, the Tzaras Avram. What happened? The Germans in World War II had another agenda. Besides winning the war, they had this crazy agenda. They wanted to kill all the Jews. So in the little dinky villages, it was very easy to kill the Jews. There's 10 Jews there, you kill them. In Warsaw, where there's a few million Jews, they couldn't kill them all. You can't kill a few million people at once. You have an uprising, right? Which they end up having anyway, even though they did it, stretched it out. So what ended up happening, that the people that stayed in the big city survived longer, you know, and maybe some of them even survived at the end of the war. Zuckerman was in Kovna, he survived the war. But that was a major city. But the people that went to the little cities all got killed. So he said, someone asked the Mashkiach from Sabaka, you know, how do you feel? You told all the Bachrim to run away to all the little cities. They all got killed. And if they would have stayed in Kovna, this is where the yeshiva was, Sabaka was in Kovna, he stayed in Kovna because he was an older man. He couldn't run away because he's not the oldest sick man, and he would have survived. They would have survived. He says, I did what was halachically right. I paskin based on the information. You can only paskin based on the information Hashem gives you. Based on the information I gave me, I paskin. That was a ripe sack of the halacha. That was halacha. I don't have to feel bad. I don't feel bad. I did halachically what's right. I, Hashem, worked it out that they got killed. Nothing to do with me. Okay, anyway.
But said before that there might be a taina on the gadol.
All right, but he felt that he paskin's right.
Is this special thing you're halachically obligated to ask in the first place?
Could be. Depends. I don't want to make trouble for you.
Okay.
Would that come out that the people that didn't listen stayed in the city and survived, did the wrong thing?
Yeah.
And the whole time they were alive.
In other words, if you really take it to the extreme, but I think that's what she really held, is that there were many gedolim that tell people not to run away to America. Because America was a treif in Medina, and they said, you'll survive, don't worry, you'll survive in Europe. And there are a few people that didn't listen. Now, there were some gedolim that also said to run away to America. Of Yaakov Kamenetsky personally felt you should run away to America. So there were gedolim that said, I'm not saying everyone ran to America is wrong. But there were certain gedolim that held that you should not run away. So assuming a person asked that gadol, that was his rebbe, and his rabbi said him, no, don't go to America, it's a trade for Medina, stay in Europe. And he got killed, and his friend didn't listen. He ran away to America and got survived. So yeah, the Rishon would say, the guy who went to America was wrong. The guy that got killed in Europe was right. Okay, anyway, Shikayach, everyone. What?
Doesn't mean he didn't do the right thing.
He
was wrong, but doesn't mean he doesn't not
his chas. Who? What? No, the Shiva would say that he was wrong. If he asked the Shaida and his Rebbe told him to stay in Europe, that was a halachic decision. So he was for going to America, he was halachic. He did something that's halachically wrong. He survived. Sometimes he survived by doing something that's halachically wrong.
At the end of the day, he stole a scar for, let's say, every shishiva with 50
times. Okay, yeah, that could be, but okay, I don't know.
So it's not about, okay, we do his...
is possible. Is there anything that was a ripe sack? It was the sack that Hashem wanted the